Thank you, choir. What a powerful word. Almighty, King of Kings. If you have your Bibles, you can turn back there to Ephesians chapter number 2, if you'll take a moment to do that. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to continue in our series of Vision 2020. My prayer is by now you've gotten the four words down. You know what our vision is and what our statement says. Maybe you've got those four words memorized. Maybe just, well, there they are right there. If you can't say them together, so there they are. Let's say those words together. We're called to connect, grow, commit, and go. Now, let's say it like we're really excited because that sounded like connect, grow, commit, go. Let's try it again. Connect, grow, commit, and go. That is our call that we believe God is putting before us. Before we get to that call, what kind of really help us set the stage is this idea of the word transformation. We understand that if we're going to be the church that God is calling us to be the individuals God is calling us to be, then we have to be transformed. We can't make transformation happen. We have to put ourselves in a place where transformation can happen. And the transformation will become a norm. It'll be something that we regularly see in our lives and the lives of those who are coming to be a part of this church body. That you are being transformed. That your friends are being transformed. That your life group is being transformed. The ministries you're involved in. You're seeing transformation happen from those that you are touching with your ministries. We want to see that happen. So we understand the very get-go that the challenge is a renewed vision. The idea that we desire to be radically transformed by God into a people He can use to transform others. We desire to be radically. That doesn't mean just kind of on a Sunday morning thing. Transformation goes far beyond that. That's where it starts as part of the process. But transformation goes far beyond that. That we'd be radically transformed, not just, and unfortunately, in just the day and age we live, we have to add adjectives to our words. You notice that? You know, we can't just say, I love somebody. We've got to say, I love you, what? Unconditionally, right? Because just the word love gets overused. Sometimes even words in our English language get overused. So we have to add this other word, radically transformed. The idea in our world and even in Christendom, in the church, is sometimes that we have to get across the idea that we've got to be radically transformed. We can't just do the same old thing like we've always done and expect to get any kind of different results. If we're going to really see us impact our culture in a significant way, which I believe you want to do, I believe our church wants to do, feels called to do, then we've got to be transformed. And as God transforms us from the inside out, we begin to connect deeply with Him and with His body. We begin to connect on a deeper level. We begin to grow deeper in our own personal walk. We see our life groups grow and our church grow. Then you know what's going to happen? By default. It won't even be something we have to work on. It will just happen. As a result, God can then use us to then see others' lives transformed as well. That's the process. That's what we want to see happen. And that means we've got to get involved. That means we're going to have to come to this next level, which is the idea of committing sacrificially. So we talk about kind of the criteria of what this looks like, right? Let's jump to the next one again. Well, the criteria for this one is commit your time and resources to serve Christ and others. We've talked about connecting yourselves in Christ to others in the church, growing in a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ, and then this morning we're going to talk about committing your time and your resources to serve Christ and others. The fourth step of this ladder we'll talk about next week is to go share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. We'll talk more about that next week, about how that's going to impact us and what we do in Petal. We're already doing some of those things right now, but we want to go much further than where we are. We're talking about going and infecting Mississippi. So next weekend, or two weekends, I guess, from yesterday, we'll go to Shekinah Glory. And we'll talk about impacting our Judea in Jackson, Mississippi, to help this church plant. We want to talk about going North America, where Chad and Felicia Greenwood and Annabeth are, to impact our Samaria, our North America, in Toledo, Ohio, and other places and other doors that God might open to help partner with the church to see them multiply and see them help them reach their community. And then to the ends of the earth. To Haiti this summer, two different trips to Haiti, three trips to Haiti. There's a trip here in 3 weeks going to Indonesia. So these are all part of the picture of what God wants to do in your life and mine. But we're going to have to commit sacrificially because what our world says is, or even in church we sometimes say, well, just commit just a little bit. We don't want you to have to sacrifice because what that word sometimes tells people is, woo, sacrifice, thank you, I'll go somewhere else where they won't require quite as much. One of the things we felt compelled about in our Vision 2020 unashamedly was to tell you that we want to step up what it means to be a part of Petal First Baptist. That being a member is significant. It's not just something because my name was on a roll, but it means that I have committed my life to sacrificially serve the body of Christ. And I will put the needs of my church family above other things in my life. And it means I'll have to say no to some things. It means I'll have to stop doing some things so I can do some other things. We want you to know that that's the greatest joy, the greatest privilege that God would give us, is that we would be called to commit our time and our resources to do that. And it's a sacrificial commitment. This fulfills, by the way, the role of the church, of ministry, ministering to each other in the body of Christ. Now let's go back and grab this chart, because I know we've done this now four Sundays in a row, and I'm praying, and I'm doing it on purpose. Repetition. All of our teachers would tell me that I'm doing a great job because I'm doing repetition. Because what do I know? If we're going to get it, you got to hear it a lot of times. And so my prayer is eventually you're going to shout out one Sunday, "All right, already, we know it. Stop talking about it." That's my goal, all right? So you can, these words become just ingrained in your heart. What does this picture look like? We want to see you understanding this. It's a journey. It's a process. We don't just jump there all of a sudden and become mature or transformed. It's a process. We've got to start with the connecting part, connecting to a relationship with Christ as Savior and Lord. If you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, your first step this morning is to connect with Him in a personal relationship to understand what worthy is the Lamb really means. Right? That's the first step. We go to the next step. We got to grow. There's so many Christians that are stunted. They're in the baby nursery. They're not growing spiritually speaking. And so we want to have a fresh call for us to grow and put our roots down deeper in the Word of God, in praying, in memorizing Scripture, in fasting, in praying, and seeing God do miraculous things. We want to see a church that is prayerfully dependent. And I want to be honest with you. One way we'll know if I'm even halfway communicating. I just want to be honest with you. If you're really getting it. Because we want to give you steps and measures where you can see, are we getting it? We want this not to be some kind of a document we put on make a pretty banner and put on the wall and forget about. Folks, this is the living, breathing document that will help guide our church through the next 6 years, 5 years. We want it to believe that. We believe that. So I just want to tell you that there's no way possible. I don't know how many people are in here, and students, you're involved in this too, by the way. Students and adults and kids can sign up too. There's no way out of a 12-hour period, or 24-hour period, we have four slots for all 24 hours. I don't know what the math that is. Somebody can figure that out in a minute. 24 times 4 is what? 96. Very good, Chris Robbins. Very good. That's very good. Chris is on his A game today. 96, okay? We got way more than 96 people in here. Every single hour ought to be covered in that 24-hour period. That you commit to pray 1 hour for yourself, for our church, for Vision 2020, for people to take the next step in their commitment level to the Lord in connecting, growing, committing, and going, and their next step in the generosity ladder. We want everybody to pray 1 hour. That'll let us know if we're doing that. We'll know in the next two Sundays if you're really getting and understanding. We go to our ministry teams, and we have all these places across the room, tons and tons of ministry opportunities. I mean, like, I'm talking like I've never been involved in before. We're going to offer you tons of ministry opportunities that you can sign up and be a part of. And you won't be able to say, well, I just don't know where to plug in. If you don't know where to plug in, good night. There will be so many opportunities for you to plug in and find a place where you will be plugged in and be able to serve according to your shape. And we'll talk about that this morning, right? So we go to that next level. So we're the commit level, the third level. We're growing that spot. So some of you, you're already connected. You're part of the church. Maybe you're already growing. You're in a life group, but you're not committed to serving in ministry yet. We want you to do that. Or maybe you need to be involved in a second ministry thing, because maybe one thing only takes a little bit of time. You can add something else to it. And the last level is going. We want to see every member committed to serving in ministry, and every member at least one day a year. One day, just one out of 365. We're asking for one day of every member in the year 2015. We're going to shorten it because you're only going to have about 9 months. But in the year 2015, that every member, we get to the end of December of this year, we'll be able to say, we saw 250 people involved in missions. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. We have 250 people involved. We're going to have to offer you more ministry opportunities than what we're offering right now. Because that's a lot of people. We want to see you engaged. Our students are hopefully going to get to go to Shekinah Glory in March and do some painting and be a part of the process. We want everybody to be a part. We want to offer opportunities where you can grab your family and go do missions together. That's significant. Are y'all awake? I get so excited about this. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one having a fit up here just myself. Isn't this exciting stuff? Yes, it is. I'll be excited by myself. I don't have William and Matthew here. They always tell me, Daddy, you always keep turning to the choir. I'm like, well, I have to do what I can do, you know? Well, here's the thing. Commit. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. Commit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Why was I created? Why were you created? Here it was. What does he say? Why were we created? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let's go to this verse just a moment. For we are his workmanship. I am not my workmanship. I am not my parents' workmanship. I am God's workmanship. And if God, who is perfect, watch this, if God's creating it, then is there anything that God doesn't create that's perfect? There's a nice theological thought for the day. No. Whatever God creates is perfect, me and you. Now, we're all different. We're all tall and short and skinny and wide. We're all, some of us have this personality and that personality. Some of us grew up over here and grew up over there. We're all different. But God created us to be His workmanship. Created who? In Christ Jesus. Not in ourselves, not of the world, but in Christ Jesus. Why? For a reason. To do good works. To do something that matters, that is significant, that will far outlast us. Folks, we are made to give back. We are made to serve. God created us this way. We're wired in our DNA this way. But sometimes we choose to ignore the DNA. We think we're not saved to serve, but we are. We're gifted to serve. We are shaped to serve. So some of us this morning need to discover how God has shaped us in order to serve. So let's look on your outline this morning. We're going to kind of use a little acronym to help us think through this idea of serving. We've talked about shape. If you've been through the purpose-driven life or what on earth am I here for, you are familiar, hopefully, with this acronym. You've heard it before. The first one we have to do is discover our shape and our place to serve. Every person has a significant shape, and everybody's shape is different. All right? Everybody's shape is different. But not only that, everybody has a place to serve. The problem is, too often, is that we got a small percentage that are serving in all the spots. In my church I served previously before I came here, we made a decision that we would limit people to working more than multiple ministries. Because we had people that would teach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights. Never got a break. They were always doing something, and they'd get burned out. They get tired. And so we had to tell our church, either we're going to do one of two things, either we're going to stop having certain ministries, or somebody else is going to have to step up to the plate and serve. Right? That didn't go over very well. That went like a lead balloon, right? Why? Because it meant that some people are going to have to get uncomfortable in the seat. And here's my deal. I want you to be uncomfortable this morning. If you're not serving somewhere, I want you to be uncomfortable. I want you to have that holy discontent going, all right, I hear you, preacher. I'm going to get connected. I'm going to serve. I'm going to commit to serve somewhere. No matter where you are in your life, old, young, middle, in between, kids, no kids, doesn't matter. We can make a significant difference. How do we do that? How do we discover our shape? Well, here's what they are. There are five things. Number one, every one of you have a spiritual gift. The Bible describes them in 1 Corinthians. It's in other places. Describes the spiritual gifts. Things like teaching or prophecy. Things like compassion or hospitality. All kinds of gifts. The gifts of service. All kinds of spiritual gifts we can have. We're going to offer you. There's going to be a track to go through that will help you discover what your shape is by thinking about what the spiritual gifts are. You can take a spiritual gifts test, an inventory, to kind of get a feel for what your spiritual gift might be. All of us have at least one spiritual gift. Some of us have more, right? I know what my spiritual gifts are. I've taken several of those surveys over the years, and I know what my spiritual gifts are. My spiritual gifts are leading, prophecy, which is proclaiming the Word of God, right, and discernment. I can see those things in my life. I know those are part of who I am. And so that's my spiritual gift. So every believer, so if you're sitting in this room and you're breathing and you're a child of God, guess what? You have a spiritual gift. Secondly, notice this, we also have heart. Well, going, well, duh, I know I've got a heart. What does that mean? Well, what I mean by that is there are certain things in our lives that we are passionate about, right? There are things that we get really, really, really passionate about. And a lot of that's determined by this, the E we'll talk about in a moment, by our life experiences. But there's certain things that just engage us, that get us so pumped up and so excited about doing something, right? So one of the things I'm passionate about is speaking for the unborn. I get very passionate about that. Very passionate. I'm very passionate about talking and dealing with sex abuse victims. I'm very passionate about that. I have things that I get really passionate about that really just light my fire. There are other things that don't light my fire. I am not passionate about it at all. I am not passionate about preschool ministry. At all. I'm passionate about my own, and I can serve a rotation. And when I was not a pastor, I did. I served a rotation. Matter of fact, well, I served. The last time I did it, that was about probably, 15 years ago. And I had 3-year-olds. And so I came out of the room, and we had like 3 kids that were just like the devil's children. I don't know who they were. And I don't know, deacon's kids or something. I don't know. They were awful. And I'm like, I went out to the person and said, when can I beat these kids? I mean, what am I supposed to do with them? I mean, this timeout is not working. You know, he's like, well, you can't spank kids. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I said, well, you got to put me with the bed babies because I cannot deal with this. This gets my blood pressure high. It gets me upset. My wife said, I'm upset. It's just not good. So I know preschool is not my place. I am not passionate about preschoolers. Now, I'm passionate about us having a fantastic preschool ministry, which we have. I'm not passionate about children's ministry. At one point, I was really passionate about student ministry. I love students. I do love students. I'm passionate about students. But I was glad I was able to go home and sleep in my own bed last night. And I'll be honest. Now, here's the third thing. Some of us have abilities, the A-center abilities. Some of us, God's given us specific abilities, right? We have specific things we can do very, very, very well, right? So, I've often said this. I do not have the ability. My dad didn't have it, didn't give it to us at all. My grandparents had it, but my dad didn't give it to us either side. But, like, when anything broke in the house, dad fixed nothing. He didn't fix anything. So, as a result, we didn't grow up fixing anything. There was a toolbox that, like, was dusty and cobwebs on it kind of thing, you know? Dad didn't really like changing tires, didn't change the air filter, or nothing, any of that kind of stuff. So, I've learned over the years. And so, but I don't have that ability. You ask Andy Simmons how bad my abilities are. Now, I've learned about them. I've learned more about an air conditioning system than I ever thought possible in this building. Ever. I thought possible. But I don't have that ability. And so poor Andy gets calls. You just be glad you're not Andy Simmons, because we call all the time, Andy, the air conditioner's broke. Andy leaves on a Sunday. You know what we have to do? Andy never misses a Sunday. Because you know why? We have to call him every time he's gone. Andy, I know you're in church. Can you slip out? We're having a heating problem. We're having a cooling problem, right? I don't have that ability. I cannot look at something and envision what it needs to look like and make it happen with the drill or the hammer or the saw or whatever. Now, I can make a royal mess. Now, that I can do. I can deconstruct some stuff. Now, I do have that ability. I can tear up some sheetrock. Can I, JR? I can tear up some sheetrock, buddy. I can make a mess. Don't have that ability. So some of you have different kind of abilities. We all have different kind of abilities that God has given us. Some of you are great athletes. Some of you have the skill of doing construction things. Some of you have the skill of nursing. There's all kinds of abilities that we have. Notice the last thing, the fourth one is our personalities. We all know this. You can take a DISC profile. You can take all kinds of different profiles that talk about. I like the one with animals because it kind of helps me think about it. Some of us are lions. Some of us are leader-type people. We're loud. We're boisterous. When a lion's in the room, everybody knows it, right? You know what I'm talking about? They're bossy, right? They want to be in charge. Listen, and our personalities, we get when we're young. I was a lion when I was in elementary school, right? I loved to boss everybody around. Just ask my mom. She'll tell you. Now, I didn't boss my dad around because that didn't work real well, but I tried to boss my mom around, right? I was a leader. That's who God made me to be. So, a lion. The next one is an otter. They're the party people. They're the people that, like, they just light up a room, right? They just light up a room. They come in, it is party. I mean, it's like, hey, let's go do it yesterday. Let's go today. Who plans? We don't need any plans. Let's just go do it today. Absolutely. Just kind of a free-for-all, just kind of fun, loving person. You just love to be around these people. But now, these personalities, by the way, have strengths and weaknesses, right? A lion, they're great. They're going to lead people, but they have a tendency to run over people. An otter, man, they are party, hardy, hardy. But organization, forget it. They ain't got a clue, right? They're just all about a big party, you know? It's just kind of how it rolls. The next one is a beaver. Builds dams, very organized. Some of you go in your drawers. I there was a minister of music. His wife went to his house. We went to their house one day, and we went to like eat food, and we went to get a drawer out. And I'm not kidding y'all. I have never seen like this in my life. This is insane. Her spoons, okay, if you're like this, and God bless you, are laid out like opposites. Like there was a spoon, like every like cans were like labeled and like stacked like neatly. It was like I don't know what the word is. I mean, it was like amazing. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like you felt like you couldn't touch anything because you would mess it up. Are some of you like that? Really organized, right? Some of you like that. Others of you, the weakness of that is you get too organized. You get bogged down on being too organized, right? Now, the other one is a golden retriever, all right? And these are your loyal folks. These are laid-back people, all right? Peacemakers. Want peace, no conflict, very loyal, right? My dad was a golden retriever. That's just who my dad was. Peace, quiet. Didn't talk a whole lot, unless he got really upset. Otherwise, he was just very, very laid back. Now, here's what's funny about that. My mom loved the fact my dad was a golden retriever. Loved it because she was a lion, okay? And so they were opposites attract, right? That's how that works. And so they were a great blend for each other. What's funny is the thing that my mom loved about my dad, she hated the worst because the part of being laid back meant a lot of times he just was kind of sometimes lazy. You know, it's just kind of how it worked. Now, not at work, but at home, no way. Not going in the yard. I'm not doing anything here. He's laid back, gold retriever. Just love these people. So kind. You feel like people just want to give you a big old hug. You're just those kind of people, you know? We all have personalities. They're all different. And thank God we're not all lions. We're not all otters. Think about it. If we were all otters, it'd be party time all the time. But we'd be really, really disorganized, right? We need the beavers, and we need the lions, and we need the gold. We need everybody together in the body of Christ. And that makes your personality. Notice the last one is your experiences. Now, this is really key, and I don't have time to really dive here, but we all have life experiences. And they're all significant. And they're all different. Some of us have life experiences that are really, really some great high moments in your life. Others of us have life experiences that are very, very difficult, that have shaped us and influenced who we are. And kind of the things we're passionate about can kind of dovetail into what we've experienced in life. I've not been really knowing a whole lot about dyslexia before, but we have a child that's been diagnosed with dyslexia. I'm a little bit more, because my life experience, I'm a little more understandable and passionate about students who have dyslexia. My wife is. Right? We can see things. I talk about the sexual abuse victims. I have that life experience in my life, so I'm very passionate about that issue. And so as a result, I can look back over my ministry and I can see how God has put me in places and opportunities to serve and to minister based off of my life experiences. So here's the good thing. Here's the kicker about that. Some of you are thinking, why did all this happen to me? Why does this happen? Why did that happen? Let me tell you why. This is great. This is defining. It's because God is shaping you in order that He can use you in His service. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so it's to shape you and help you know how you can minister to the body of Christ. That's right. So we got to discover our shape and a place to serve. I've got the shape profile right now. If you want it, I can get it to you. And you can dive in and do it on your own. We're going to offer it here in the coming, this year, before the year's out, I hope and pray, because we want to do track 201 and 301. We'll have names for these at some point, but 201 is talking about the growing part. How do we grow? How do we have a quiet time and prayer? Those kind of things, real basic. And this next level talks about, how do you discover my shape? All right, but notice this also in the discover part as well. Hit the D there as well, Michael. The next one is involved in ministry. God has prepared a unique place for you to serve at Petal First Baptist. You might be thinking to yourself, well, why did God have me here? Well, let me tell you why. To have you involved in the ministry. God has a desire for you to come and not just to attend, not just to sit, but to serve. We also say God didn't call you to come and sit and soak. Well, you need to sit down some, and you need to soak in some, but when you sit and soak enough, you know what you become? A sponge that's really full. You know what a sponge can do when it's really full of water? What does it become? It becomes really what? Soggy, heavy. Gets mildewy. We got a lot of mildewy Christians. That's fresh. That just came to me. That's pretty funny. We got a lot of mildewy Christians. Got a full of a lot of stuff. I mean, you've soaked up the good stuff, and that's good, but you haven't done anything with it. My question to us is, what are we doing with that which God has gifted us to do? Because if we sit on it, it will be of no value to anybody else. And sometimes that sponge gets sour smelling. You know what? Sometimes Christians get sour because they're not serving. Notice the third thing here, part of discover, the S stands for sees unmet needs and meets them. Sometimes we get in the idea, and it's happened, especially when we've added more staff to our churches over the decades, we think to ourselves, well, that's a pastor's job or a staff's job to find needs and meet them, and then when they tell us what those needs are, then we'll go meet those needs. All right? Can I just tell you one of the things of Vision 2020? Here's, this is a big one now. This is a game changer. And that is this, is that we want you to be freed and looking around to see where there are unmet needs, and you find where your shape is, and you go, you know what? That need's not being met. I'm shaped to do that. I'm going to go start that ministry. You don't have to come and give a, you know, now we want it to fit inside of our overall vision. We want something that's way outside the box, but we want something to fit inside the vision, but I believe God will give that to you. And we can help direct and guide that. But we want to free up and get rid of the red tape. And if you see a need's not being met, then we want you to understand that it is your responsibility and mine to meet that need. That's an awesome thing. So that means we don't have a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of pages and pages of what you have to do and how you have to do it and the process you have to go through. We want to free you up to go do ministry. Now, does that freak a preacher out who's a little control freaky sometimes? Yes. But you know what? We want to free you up to do ministry. It's your call. Notice the C stands for created to serve God. Our first calling is to serve God. What's what we have in the statement? We are created, right? Let's say we want to commit your time and resources to serve Christ and others. I am created to serve God. Jesus said, by the way, I have not come to be served, but to serve others, Jesus says. So if the Son of God is coming to serve, how in the world do we think we're exempt from serving? It doesn't make any sense, does it? We're called to serve God. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by default, though, when we serve God, guess what? We'll serve others. You and I were not just put up on this earth to take up space, consume, and get a free ride through life. Now, some people say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll serve God, but I'm interested in serving others. Well, those two don't work, and we'll talk about why that is just in a moment. Notice others focused. Others focus. Our world, we know, is completely, obviously, completely opposite of this. Others focus. Our world says, focus on who first? Yourself, right? That's what our world says. You need to focus on you. Be the best you. It's even crept over into Christendom. Be the champion you. Be all about you. Hey, it's not all about us. It's all about God. Choir, that was a good opportunity right there. Y'all missed it. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about God. We get that so confused. And not only is it not about God, it's about other people. That we're called to be others focused. So my challenge to you is, when you come in this building, who are you looking to minister to? Who are you looking to where their needs it can be met? See, here's the thing. We want you to get away from this consumer mentality, which is the church is open, the building's open, the staff's here to serve us, blah, 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 blah. The leaders are here. We want you to understand this is part of you. When you come in looking about who can I greet and who can I meet and who can I share the Lord with and who can I encourage and who can I pray with and what need is met, there's trash on the floor, I'll pick it up, there's this over here, there's that over there, whatever the case may be, we're looking to meet others' needs and get off of our focus of ourselves. Now, there's certainly times we need to be ministered to, there's no question. But by and large, we need to be others' focused. Notice the next one. Value God's command. We value God's command. What do we value? God's call to serve. We take it seriously. We don't just say, well, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. I mean, I'm not this person, that person. Folks, God created every one of us to serve somewhere. It is that call that God has placed on our lives. So the question is, will we answer it? Will we listen to it? Will we acknowledge it and do something about it? Our prayer is next Sunday morning or the first, you go around and you look and you pray and you listen and you read and say, God, where can I plug in? We've got some brand new teams we're creating, folks that have never existed in our church ever. And there's not going to be a nominating committee to look at you and say, okay, you need to be on that team and you need to be on that team and you need to be on that team because God told me so. No, no, no. What we want you to do is you go and find a team that fits your needs, fits your desires, fits your shape, and it helps meet an unmet need. For example, we want to have three teams, in our Connect level. We have three teams. We want to have a front door team. Some of you already own the front door team. You're a greeter. We want to add some people out in the parking lot even to greet people when they come in the parking lot, right? Wear a nice little shiny yellow vest so you don't get run over, and smile and wave and help them know where the guest parking is. Okay? We want people out there greeting at the doors like they're doing now. We want the mid-level. We want some folks to man some connection centers, some booths here that they can, when people come in the door, they can find out where their life group is and where are the bathrooms and where's the preschool, where's the children's area if they don't come in this door. And connect people to the resources. The next team is the next level. Now, we want people who say, you know what? I'm so passionate. I want to help people get connected to our church. I don't want us to come in and visit, and we have no clue where they go from there. And they'll help us as a church to get from that process, then visiting, all the way to becoming a member and connected to a life group. New teams. We never had these teams before, really. So we're going to need your help. And many other teams that not even existed. And maybe there's a team, by the way, listen carefully. There may be a team that's not listed that God puts on your heart. I see this need, and you come and say, preacher, can we pray about this? Can we talk about this? We'll bring it to leadership and say, look, what do y'all think? And they say, yes, let's do it. Notice the E. Everyone is a minister. Everyone is a minister. Sometimes, and I grew up this way, thinking the only people that are ministers are those who are called to full-time Christian service. The only ministers are those who have the name Reverend in front of their name or brother. By the way, just call me Brad, by the way, just in case you ever wondered. Brother Brad, I feel like I'm Richard Nixon, you know. Brother Brad, that's what I feel like. I just want to be Brad, you know. I'm good with just good old Brad. People do that respect, and that's good. Preacher, that's good. I like preacher. I can live with that one. Here's the deal. We've gotten this mindset, especially as we've gotten more professional with staff positions. We've added more staff positions. Some of you growing up, you had about like two or three staff positions. That's all there was. It's a preacher and a music person, and eventually somebody got tired of dealing with teenagers, so they had to hire somebody to take care of teenagers, right? You know, and then we added music people, and we added education people, and we had discipleship. I mean, you just add mission people. It just goes on and on and on. And so all of a sudden we think, well, the ministers are those who are paid to do that. But the Bible is absolutely 100% clear that every child of God is a minister. And so if somebody's having surgery, and our church has freed us up to do this, that our deacons, they can go, used to be we think the only person that is qualified to pray over somebody having surgery is the preacher. That's it. The rest of you are not qualified, as if Brother Brad has a special connection with God. I don't. No more than you have, right? The Bible says we come before the throne of grace boldly. And so, yes, now I go to most surgeries, and I'll be there, and I consider that a privilege. But listen, God can call some of you in your life group to go and pray with that person. Wednesday night, we had a Petal FBC staff night at the ER. I don't know if y'all knew about it or not. We've been praying for Lucas. Lucas not here. Lucas had a seizure, we think, Wednesday night at home. Had the flu, and he's still sick and at home. We pray for him. And so I was there with him, and I called a couple folks, and all of a sudden I get up there, and there's a waiting room full of people. They didn't really need me. Now I went because it was staff folks. I wanted to be there. So about that time, I look up, and here comes the Mizells in the emergency room. So we have red 8 is the Robins, and red 6 is the Mizells. And so I was a ping pong ball bouncing back and forth in between our staff on Wednesday night. It's a room full of people just being there. Everyone is called to be a minister. And listen, our church can grow much further if we don't depend on the preacher to do all of the ministry. And you guys already get that, folks. You get that. And that's freed this preacher up. Now, I'll be honest with you, I feel really guilty about it because I grew up and trained as a minister when I was younger that you had to be at everything. So when somebody gets sick in the night and deacon on call says, I got it, preacher. Don't worry about it. I got it covered. Oh, guilt trip. Ugh, I'm like, I need to be there. It's hard for me, but I'm learning. I'm growing. Everyone's a minister. The rewards are essential. Clear distinction and reminder about the rewards. We serve Christ to serve others. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says the statement. Powerful words. Don't miss it. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, and then He will sit on His throne and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right hand. Congratulations, sheep. You're good over here. Just kidding. And the goats on the left. And the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For when I was hungry, watch this, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, you invited Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Watch this. Then the righteous, the religious church member, what it says, will answer Him saying, but Lord, when did we see You hungry? Jesus, we never saw You hungry. I mean, You're Jesus after all, right? I mean, you feed yourself. Or thirsty and give You a drink. And when did we see You a stranger and invite You in and naked or clothe You? And when did we see You sick or in prison and come to You? And the King will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, listen to this, to the extent you did it to one of My brothers of Mine, even the least of them, you did it unto Me. Folks, there is our sacrificial call. Let me let the cat out of the bag. Our goal of starting doing shoes and food backpacks over the weekend is only the beginning. There are hurting families that need people to invest in their lives. And we think, why do a pair of shoes? What difference does it make? Because they need them. And if I clothe that child with a pair of shoes, I've clothed Jesus with a pair of shoes. And if I pack a bag and I got to take it to 20 children on Friday, I walk through those hallways, I feel like Santa Claus. I love it. Some of y'all need to go and experience it and go get it handed out some Friday. I'm feeding Jesus. That child can't help it. Can't help the decisions that mom or dad makes. We're called to minister in the name of Jesus. So that when we go to a skating party last Sunday night, a little boy looked up at me and said, wow, this is the greatest day of my life. I got free skating, free pizza, and now you're going to give me a free pair of shoes. Whoa. I walked down the Petal Primary hallways on Monday. We gave up the other 14 pair of shoes that some of you purchased. The teacher stops me in the hall. I'd have never thought it. But this kid came to school today, a different kid. Of course, I'm clueless. Well, what happened? What an idiot I am. He got a new pair of shoes last night. He's been smiling. He's been listening and paying attention. He's a different little boy. Well, then I got real excited the rest of the day. We stayed a couple hours at school handing out shoes, and before I know it, my wife said, "Brad, if you don't quit looking down, we're going to buy a new pair of shoes for everybody in this building." I'm like, I know. I went to this one room, this little girl, I'm like, did you ask her? Will you call her mom? She needs a new pair of shoes. I had a teacher stop me Friday. "Are y'all still doing the shoes thing?" Once again, I just asked for forgiveness, not for permission. I said, "Absolutely we are. Absolutely. We're adding more backpacks as we go." Little boy we bought shoes for. Gave him his shoes. Man, he has to wear glasses. He can't see. Mom and dad can't even keep up with the glasses. So he comes to school and he can't see because he doesn't have his glasses. I said, "Find out what his prescription is. We're going to buy him glasses to keep at school so we can get to see at school." Bought the little boy's shoes. I put him on him. We got to put him on the kids, you know, outside in the hallway. Tying his shoes. Got on his knees, tying his shoes. He got up and he said, "All right, I got to take these off." I'm like, "Take them off? I just put them on your feet." "No, you can't take them off. Why don't you wear them?" "So they're too nice. I need to put them in my backpack and carry them home first." I don't know if you ever had a new pair of shoes. Of course, on the inside, I'm like, "Oh, I want you to wear this pair of shoes. I mean, I want to take a picture of you in them, and I bought them for you." Saw him the next day. I didn't even notice him. I mean, there's so many kids at the primary school. Dr. Dillon, I mean, it's like a sea of kids, you know. It's hard to see them all. And little dude's in line to bathroom. He said, "Psst." I'm like, "Oh, God, please help me know." And it was my kid. Puts his arms out wide. I just wrapped him up. When you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto Jesus. And that's not just at the Petal Primary School, that's in this building. So listen to me, preschool worker. Karen, coordinating, and Denise, when you love on that child, you're loving on Jesus. When you serve supper on a Wednesday night, you're serving Jesus. When you stand up here and sing, you're singing to Jesus. When you come up here and play a guitar, you're playing for Jesus. When you serve on the soundboard, you're serving for Jesus. When you greet at the door, you're greeting Jesus. If we think about it from that perspective, it looks very different, doesn't it? That's our call. To commit sacrificially. The last part of this commit sacrificially is our generosity ladder. And then we'll be done this morning. I want to just review this with you real quickly. I've got to take these off. It's like supersonic stuff here. So we're going to connect, grow, and commit and go. We talk about our resources. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago, we have the why and the what, right? And what we're talking about right now is the why. Why are we doing what we're doing? And the what is how do we do it? And we don't focus so much on the why as we do the what. And so a few weeks ago, we gave you a commitment card. We'll be mailing one to you, Lord willing, this week with a full guide of Vision 2020. We'd hoped to do this weeks before, and just time is not allowed to happen. To give you an overview, again, of all the what Vision 2020 looks like. Because we're going to March the 1st. We're going to officially, as a church family, say, yes, we're on board. Or no, we're not. If you say no, it's going to be bad. No, I'm kidding. We want you to vote. We want you to pray. We want you to pray for 40 days. Is this what God's plan is for our church? We believe it is. We want you to believe it is. But the what has to happen, because here's what we know. If we're going to put shoes on kids, it's going to cost money. If we're going to feed kids on the weekends, I think I missed this a few weeks ago. We're going to adopt the rest of the kids that Sweet Kara has started. A little sophomore last year started this process in the schools. She's doing 30. We've got 22 right now. We're about to add at least 3 or 4 more that I know of. So we're going to have about 55 kids. That's about a $5,000 or $6,000 investment. We've never spent before. But here's what y'all bless me. Can I brag on y'all a minute? Y'all feel like you need to be bragged on? Yes, okay, good. Thank you for permission. Statistically speaking, most churches, 20%, right, 20% give 80%. In our church, right now, 40% give 85%. That's incredible. It's incredible. Now, here's the other good stuff. So you met all the shoes. JR's going to be mad at me for saying this, but I just want you to know it because it's worth bragging on. We've already gotten enough money And it's the union can't bring it now, okay? Because we'll forward it onto the task force or have it in our food pantry. We've already got all the kids covered. Now, I keep adding some more. We may have to add some more to it. You guys have added to that. You give that above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. Here's what we want to do. We want to get to a place where we don't have to ask for special things like give money for food. We want all that to come out of our church ministry plan. That's all budgeted. And we all give and contribute to it, whether it's a dollar or it's $10 or it's $200, whatever the case may be. How does that happen? Well, here's what we want to do. Well, there's a commitment card you saw last week. We want everybody to take the next step up, all right? So you got a commitment card there. We want to ask everybody, when they bring that card on March the 1st, this is kind of, the, no, go back to the other side, no, back where you were, sorry. We want everybody to identify, you see the color there, that person is an occasional giver. That's me, Brad, I'm an occasional giver. I'm not, but that's a different example. And we're going to go to intentional. So I'm going to color that line in. That's my next step up. So for some of us, again, just real quickly, some of you are first time, you're going to be a first time giver. You've never given before. You say, you know what? I want to start giving. Never given a dime before. Students, listen to me. You might be a first time giver, and that's your next step up. Well, I don't really have any money. I'm sure you do. You got a job, you got allowance, whatever it is, you can tithe off of that. Little William, that's really crooked, isn't it? Thank you very much. Thank you. If my wife was here, she'd be telling me. It's hard to see how these are straight or not. All right? That's straight-ish. So while William, he's been selling these band things. Y'all make the little, why don't we call those things, band loomy things or whatever. And had some kids at school, wanted one. Made a, I don't know what it was. Made something. And he's like, I sold them. I'm like, man, that's awesome. So now you get tithe off that. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You get the opportunity to do that. So you're going to go past the first-time giver. Some of you, you say, you know what? I've already given before, but I don't give with any sense of regular. So you're going to become, you say, you know what? My next step up is just to become an occasional giver. So I'm going to give occasionally. We're not asking you if you've never given before to become an extravagant giver. Now, if God calls you that and you can do that, then praise God. But most people, that's hard to do. We just want you to take the next step up. So you say, I'm going to become an occasional giver. Maybe for the next level says, you know, I'm occasionally, but I'm going to become intentional. I'm going to plan out my giving. I'm going to be prepared to give. Okay? So I'm going to move from occasional, I'm going to go to intentional giving. And then some of you say, you know what? I've been given intentionally, but I've not yet reached the biblical tithe, that 10% that I believe that God wants me to do. So my next step up, you'd do the ladder, the arrow next up to that. I'm going to go from intentional to tithing. And then some of you, you've been given tithing. You say, God's going to call you to be extravagant. That's one of the greatest things that my wife and I were able to do together is to be extravagant givers. I love being able to be an extravagant giver. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you I love it. It's the greatest joy ever. Some of you are doing extravagant giving, so what's your next step? I guess you're already there and praying the Lord to let you bless you even more so you can be more extravagant. Whatever God calls you to do. Can you get what I'm saying in the last 4 weeks? I want everybody to take the next step up. The next step up in your giving, the next step up in your connecting, growing, committing, and going. Everybody in the room to identify, God, where is my next step? So you fill out this card, you bring it March the 1st. Go to the second one now, Michael, if you will. Here's the blank one. Here's one that's kind of filled in. You'll fill in. What do I normally give in a year? What did you give last year? You just got your statement in the mail. Last year we mailed out to, I don't know how many people, 500, 600 people, D, something like that. We went to every single person, whether you gave $0 or you gave $1 million, all right? Nobody gave $1 million that I know of. It'd be great if they did, but in between, all right? Everybody got a tithing statement, so you'll know what you gave last year. In my additional generosity commitment to Vision 2020, Vision 2020 is our church ministry plan, all right? Here's what I want to give in addition to that. What I'm already giving, you can decide what that number is. And the third line is my extravagant gift. We want to challenge people, then this is when you get to this level, by the way, okay? We want you to fill this level in. If you're not tithing, that third blank, you just leave blank for right now, okay? Folks that are already tithing, we want you to pray about, what is my extravagant gift? I want to give something different that would go beyond that. So it would go to Outlive Your Life or to the GoFund. We're going to start a GoFund. We'll talk about this next week. We want to start a GoFund, which is going to help people go on mission trips. To go to Indonesia, for example, is almost $2,500, sometimes even $3,000, depending on the cost of the airline ticket. That's a lot of money. So we want to have people say, you know what, I can't go, but I will help people to go. We'll have a GoFund that'll help people go. So you can give to things like that. I'll Live Your Life Fund. Our hope, our prayer is we can move the entire building payment, watch this, inside the church ministry plan if our giving increases enough, and we can use the extra monies that are going to Outlive Your Life right now, we can use those monies to complete space, which we really need. All right? So you'd add that total up for your generosity commitment. But at the bottom, notice, the bottom has there, what is your next step? My participation commitment, my next step. So for some of you, maybe it's to join the church. Maybe for you, it's to join a life group. Maybe it's to commit to be on a welcome team or some team. What team would you commit to be on? And then what is your next go point? We want every person to come and have a card in hand, ready to bring it to the altar and say, God, this is my next step to you. Not your next step to the preacher, not your next step to the church, your next step to God. What a day that's going to be. March the 1st, I can hardly wait to see what God is going to do. Will you and I commit sacrificially to move up the generosity ladder and commit to serve? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be together as a church body. Father, I believe wonderfully encouraging words that we all needed to hear this morning. And God, I thank you for a church that is already responding to this call already. I don't have to preach it very hard because we're already responding. But God, we want to go further and deeper and see more and more people plugged into the body of Christ, more and more people serving. And God, see you do significant things and allow us to do even more than we've ever done before. For one reason, because we want to do it for you. Not for ourselves, not to give ourselves a pat on the back, not to make somebody feel good. But we want to do it because that's what you've called us to do. We have the opportunity to do that very thing. So God, may we heed that call this morning. So God, help us know what our next step is. For some this morning, maybe there's a student here who's never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. Maybe a child, a mom or a dad, a grandparent. They've never put their faith and their trust in Jesus alone for salvation. And their response is to come find Christ as Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray they would have that boldness to do that. For others, maybe they've already made that decision, but never made it public, that you give them the courage and the strength to step forward and say, yes, my next step is to be forward about my commitment to the Lord. For others to come and kneel at this altar and pray over a lost friend or to pray over their next step of giving or going, committing and growing in the Lord. Maybe to join this church family. God, whatever it is you're calling us to do, I pray we'll be obedient to do it right now at your call. God, thank you that there is a healer and that your mercy is unfailing. Lord, as we respond to you in worship, may we move with our feet to put feet to what you've told us to in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.